This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
It's an FUL Friday, and we are Trailer Wheel and Frame. Welcome to everybody, and thanks for joining us. If you do not know how to get to us, we are not in the studio. We are uncaged. We are out in the open, and you guys can come and be a part of the show. We are at Trailer Wheel and Frame. It's I-45 North and the Canino exit. We have plenty of goodies to be had if you stop by, from koozies and T-shirts and lots of beer, and Rudy's is here with barbecue and plenty of stuff, but we have the offense and the defense and the special teams because we got the full huddle today because it is a Friday, and it's a football Friday, part of the FEF Friday. And with that, we have Keenan McCardell, who covers the offense. We have Travis Johnson, who covers the defense. And we have myself, who's special ed, who covers the special teams. Nick Sharara is back behind the glass and spinning the dials, as always. And we are available, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us. You can tweet us. You can call us, and we will put you in on the show. If you tweet us, it's at TrapJ99 for Travis, at Keenan McCardell for KMac, and at Pac-Man Joel for yours truly, as we will go till 4 o'clock, and we will try and cover any and all of your football and other needs and desires. Some of those, if they're Ken Bonish, will be left for the Twitter feed alone, because Travis likes to get a little personal on those issues. Trav, we had 3 days of shows in which you were not part of them and not able to participate,
yeah.
But we do want you to be firmly aware, and I do say firmly, of the DonateYourSperm.com is a new sponsor.
That's a new sponsor?
Yes. So I want you to be acutely aware.
I got to check with my wife and see if I'm able to donate.
And firmly aware, because we actually had people chiming in to make sure that we knew between plasma and sperm who made more money, how many times you could donate, and they broke it all down. So Keenan was listening.
So who did make more money?
There was a guy that said that he donates plasma twice a week for up to a month, and he made $780 in a month.
But he froze to death.
Yeah, he said coming out of it, though, you freeze, because what they do is they take the blood out. They take, like, almost a gallon, and then they take the plasma out of it, but they put the blood back in you. But that you're supposed to get real cold.
Yeah.
And then what Barry didn't understand was he was going to the sperm donor clinic where he thought they had to put that back in, too.
What?
And then he wasn't cold. He was just painful.
He was just painful. Was a lot of pain. They put it back in with the turkey baster. I would, you know what? I would have loved to when I was in college, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. What I would have loved to give sperm, for the simple fact is I'm 6'4", yeah, college educated. At the time, I had a full head of hair, and I was about to be a pro athlete. My sperm would have been top notch. They'd pay me more than they pay regular guys.
See, but I don't think they do that.
They're supposed to.
I don't think, first of all, it's not weighted.
So you're good breed.
Oh, no question. If this was back in the day, hey, they would have traded me for 40 acres and a mule.
So there's that, and then on another front, which is another one of your fronts, but again, the tree fell in the woods last night in a phenomenal final game between the Nationals and the Dodgers.
No,
you and I were talking about it on the way to the show today. You got your Dodger hat on, and you are wearing it proudly. And I have two Dodger fans in my household as well, with my wife and
Joel,
her mom.
Joel, this is the first time I've seen a Dodger hat on his head.
He's a Cali guy. He's definitely
always.
He has the one. He has the one that looked like Trapper John MD gave it to him. It looks like he wears it backwards, and it looks like scrubs. But yeah, they're all Dodger logos.
All Dodger logos. Yeah. I literally have 30 Dodger hats in my house.
Yeah. I cannot argue with my man on that.
Well, it's going to stop because the jinx is over for the Cubs.
Oh, they hope it's over.
Hey, we got to put a little little wager on this.
Of course you can.
The Cubs,
you know what? We work with the Blitz. You can wager on anything.
Can we have some pizza?
We can do pizza.
Yeah, we have pizza.
And my son, you know what I mean? My son, and it's my baby boy's birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Justice.
Happy birthday.
But, you know, my boys like, they like those breadsticks. Can we get some garlic breadsticks?
We can get some garlic breadsticks.
Yeah, okay, but time out. So we got a new sponsor, and they're my boys out there in Sugarland, but they are from the Midwest, Chicago, Milwaukee. They do the deep dish. It's called Falbo Brothers Pizza. It's us.
Falbo Brothers Pizza.
Falbo Noel Brothers Pizza off of Sweetwater Boulevard and 59.
Yeah.
And it is deep dish and stuffed and all that stuff.
Okay, so can we bet? So can we bet? Let's bet two large Fowl Brother pizzas.
Okay.
And a thing of garlic breadsticks. I'm pretty sure they got it in there.
Yeah, they do. And wait, so
done deal.
Done deal.
That's just Dodgers Cubs.
That's Dodgers Cubs.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you have it. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But what Travis and I were talking about, I know you people really don't like baseball in this town like we love baseball, being where we're from. But the bottom line is on this. The Dodgers, did they sell the farm just to get to the National League Championship Series? Because not only did you use your number one, Clayton Kershaw, who also got you a win in Game 4, but he also had to come in and get the save last night. So now I'm telling Trav on the way here, I don't know how he's physically available to play before Game 3. So you've lost him for those first two games because it's a quick turnaround. You got to be ready to play. Not only did you do that, but then you used Hill, who is your number two starter. He started the game. He went into, three, and then he's gone. Then you used Urias, who's essentially your number three. So the Dodgers got there, but did they wager the farm to get there to not have a shot against the Cubs? Because you've got to have pitching against that Chicago lineup. And you know Chicago's pitchers are all lined up with Lester and Arrieta and everybody else. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out based on the schedule.
When you're playing for the championship,
uh-huh,
anything goes.
Sure.
It doesn't matter.
Now, I know you had to get there.
You got to win. You got to get there. You got to win to get there. So
you play to win the game.
It's just like basketball.
Right, Nick?
A seven-game series.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. But it's like basketball, seven-game series. You know, they play a back-to-back or play one and then you have a off day. All right.
Well, when
Kershaw has an off day and he has a pitch, just like,
so when Chase Utley starts warming up in the bullpen, you're good with it, right?
But, you know,
why not?
But here's my thing.
If he can win the game for us,
here's my thing.
Yeah.
Before we started keeping track of pitches, before we started babying these pitchers, before we started doing all the things we did back in the day, there would be guys that would pitch back to back games that are now Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
We babied these pitchers to a point where, okay, yes, we gave them $100 million contracts, yep, and we want to save their arm because you got guys like Strasburg.
Now you're stealing my stuff, but that's okay.
So we discussed this earlier.
We discussed this prior to the show, okay?
We did.
So here, and this is what I had to say, not only $100 million, but 100 miles an hour, because it used to be, if you brought it 100 miles an hour and you were the team's best pitcher, you were not only going to start a game, but if they needed you, you were going to go wherever, whenever, however, because they needed you to get a win. Now, all of a sudden, it became this new era where everybody's going to get babied, right?
Yeah.
So Strasburg, Jabba Chamberlain, all these guys, they said, you know what? We want to make sure you're around for a long time. So you're not going to pitch too much. And when you get to a certain pitch count in terms of innings in a season, you're going to be put on the shelf. Well, guess what, Washington Nationals? You didn't have Steven Strasburg in this series.
Yeah.
You didn't have him the last time you had a chance to make a run. And I'm sure there's a whole locker room that played on both those teams that is saying, if we had him then, and now we're left to worry about ifs, buts, candies, and nuts instead of worrying about playing in the National League Championship Series against the Cubs or the last time they played, having a big weapon to be able to put on the mound, to be intimidating, to get things done, to put you in a position to win. Because you only get a certain amount of chances to get in a position to win, right? You know this better than anybody, right?
Right.
Keenan knows this because Keenan fought through his career with Jacksonville, fought through everything, but then got the opportunities. He won one in his first year, and then the problem you get with these guys now is they get there a couple times and start making the postseason. They think, this is easy. We're going to do this every year.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
It's not. That's why you got to pitch him.
And so you do, and guess what happened? All these guys, they were saving and trying to make sure their arms were okay. They're all going under the knife. Strasburg isn't there yet, but he hasn't pitched in both postseasons that they needed him, and it looks like he's going to probably have some arm issues to deal with. Jabba Chamberlain had surgery, all right? He had to have the surgery. So the difference is you're saving him for what? To prolong the surgery? Or are you just going to go get him and use him in an opportunity when you have a chance to win now?
I look at him like a nice pair of Jordans. You know what I mean? Like, and give me a chance.
I'm with you.
Have you ever packed away a pair of Jordans and hadn't worn them for a while? and you might have worn them once, and then you put them away in the closet. Then you try to wear them again, and the whole freaking sole falls off.
Had it happen yesterday. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Had it happen yesterday, Nick was making fun of me in the studio. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with an arm. You save it. But the good part is when you build up that callus, you see what I'm saying? When you build up all of that work and that hard work on that arm, what does it do? It'll continue to keep going. And when you got a guy like Kershaw, everybody says, "Oh yeah, this is his first save ever. This is his first time he's ever did it." No, he also did it in AAA ball. You see what I'm
saying?
That's
the first time he ever did it.
First time he ever did it was AAA ball.
And by the way, you know who his catcher was. Go ahead,
Kinsley Jensen.
That's right. Their closer was the catcher at the time.
Well, I got a question for you guys.
Bring it.
He makes $32 million a year. He makes $215 million.
An expensive Jordan.
And you don't use him?
Who, Kershaw?
Yeah, and you don't use him when it's
well. You used him to win Game 4.
Yeah,
but you use him again. His job Max. Is to win
Max,
the game.
That's the manager's job to win the game. So I understand.
No! It's the player's job
Max,
to win
on
the game.
On the flip side, Dusty Baker took out his best player in Scherzer too soon.
Yeah.
Went through six pitchers in the seventh inning, and it still cost him the game.
Yeah.
So I understand, but it is on the manager.
But you know,
because he can leave him out there, or he can go get Kershaw and say, "I need you for a couple."
And when you look at my guy,
if I'm paying him this amount of money,
I feel you. But when you look at how they did it, like they left in their pitcher for one pitch too long. Jock Peterson takes him long, and guess what? Now all of a sudden they have to take him out of the game. They put in the bullpen, and the Dodgers end up getting they end up getting all these runs off the bullpen. The thing is, baseball is a thinking man's game.
Absolutely.
So you can't just
right.
I mean, it's more than just skill set.
But also, I give you Buck Showalter because Buck Showalter.
Yep.
Went out without using all the bullets in his gun and left his best player, a Cy Young candidate, sitting on the bench, never used him, and lost a game that they could have won. So I'm telling you right now, it is on the manager because he has to be able to work with the front office, just like we say about Bill O'Brien along with Rick Smits. You got to work together in unison, but at some point, you can't leave all your guns in the holster.
No.
You got to go out firing. That's why he went to Kershaw.
He said, don't act like Barney Fife. You ain't got no bullets in that gun.
So who made the decision? Did you think Clayton decided to call him and said, they had a conversation with him,
can you get me a couple if I need them?
Oh, you know he was going to say
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he's going to say, I want to start in my
Washington,
regular spot.
In Washington, they wouldn't do that. They'd say, hey, he's at his innings level. We can't afford to have that guy get hurt. That's the management getting too far involved.
When you listen to Kershaw talk about it, first thing he said was he did the math in his head, and because him and Kelly Jensen basically grew up in the league together, he said, I did the math. He said, this guy's never gotten a six-pitch save, let alone a nine-pitch save, so I know I'm going to have to go in there at some point. He said, if you need me, I'm available. And once he did that, what did he do? He said, he warmed up, he felt great, they put him in the game. You can't, that's what you pay him to do.
But that's when upper management gets in the way of the manager, gets in the way of the game, and in this case, cost you a chance at the National League Championship Series. That simple. Hey, you know what else is simple? 713-780-ESPN. Call us, text us. You can tweet us, and we already gave you the handles. You can reach us until 4 o'clock. We're here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 at Canino. Want you to join us one way or the other. We want you a part of the show. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
As my man Josh Fernandez likes to say, and he brought pizza this week because he lost a bet to Barry. He didn't bring it for you, Travis. But we're going in all in today at Trailer Wheel and Frame, 1 to 4 p.m., I-45 north of the Canino exit. The reason why I would say we're going all in because my man Keenan McCardell just decided to stick around because he can't get enough of the show. He loves being a part of it. And let's face it, we're all better with three heads. So if that was possible genetically, we'd make it happen. But because it's not genetics, it's just kinetics because we've all felt the energy to stay close together.
Yes.
We have Travis, Keenan, and myself until 4 p.m. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. Well, obviously, it's an FEF Friday. So we've gotten a little football, but we're going to catch a lot of football. We can do some fantasy, not too much of it. We like to do that on Twitter because then we save the content on the radio that's more entertaining for you, the listeners. We can do a lot of different things. It's all basically dictated by your interest in the show. That means Twitter. That means text. That means calls. Nick is going to be monitoring the text messages and the calls. We will be monitoring our Twitter messages, so join in on us. Last night, by the way, guys, opposite that baseball game, there was a Thursday night football game.
Another wee.
Yeah, it was the another one of your wees, the four wees now. Yes. Travis has a lot of wees, and we know that the four are the Florida State Seminoles, the Chargers, the Texans, and the Raiders. And, by the way, it's a dual wee because it's a wee of
Chargers.
Keenan as well,
yes,
with
yes,
the Chargers.
It was.
And you guys, big Phil Rivers guys.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've talked about how they have dominated games for 3.5 quarters only to lose. They almost did it again last night, but they found a way to win. That is a talented football. We talk about the Texans, and are they the worst 3-2 team in the NFL? But you talk about the Chargers. If there's a better team that came into that game with only one win in the NFL, I don't know who it is, because they had the Saints beat, because they had the Colts beat, because they beat the Broncos, which is a pretty good team.
They're the only team in NFL history to be 1-4 and average over 30 points a game.
That's crazy.
Is that a sign of the defense?
No, I don't think it's a sign of defense.
Closing?
I just think it's a
sign
of
they can't close games.
Here's the thing, Kenny. From the time I was there, you know, I remember. When we started the season off, we were 2-3 to begin the season, and we rattled off the next 11 straight and finished 13-3. But then the following year, we had number one offense, number one defense, and we went 8-8. I think it's a sign of special teams. Look how this game they almost gave this game back up again.
Yes,
was all special teams. When you talk about the extra point, when you talk about the
how about
punt,
the fair catch the by fair the offensive? Catch. Why is the offensive lineman out there?
Because they did not prepare, and I don't blame the offensive lineman.
They didn't prepare for it
being a pooch kick
on a safety.
They didn't
because he punted it.
Exactly, they didn't prepare for that, and the guy put it over. Turned over, head over heels,
and end over end is what
end
you're looking
end.
For.
That's the word I was looking for. Appreciate it.
You're here,
but I mean, an offensive lineman doesn't practice catching punts unless it's one of those. If he catches it, you get out of practice today. You know, that's it. That's the last time he probably even thought about catching a punt.
And you don't want to talk to me about that situation because based on what I went through in the Seattle game in the NFC Championship a few years ago, I still have scars from that. But at the same time, a good game. But what's going on with the Denver Broncos? Because the orange highlighters, and I will say this, the uniforms last night
were awesome.
I liked them a lot.
They were
awesome.
Nice. I liked
them.
Helmets,
a little throwback-ish.
Yes.
You wore the white one. I remember that.
Yep.
But I love the Broncos going back to the D on the helmets.
Oh.
It was some good stuff.
I was the Chargers would have went with all white.
No, no.
I like that. That looked like Chuck Muncy,
no,
man.
They had
remember
them,
Chuck
had,
Muncy used to have a glass with the
John Jefferson, too.
But
they had them Charlie Joyner Blues on, though.
I love it, but.
You couldn't beat them Charlie Joyner Blues were so
but,
nice.
But them Lance Allward whites are so sweet.
They are sweet. I love those, but, man,
I go back to my original question on this whole Thursday night thing with the uniforms. Are there that many colorblind people in this world?
Did people complain again?
All I want to know is, because that's why they said they did it.
Right.
But I don't understand at the end of the day. I mean, if you can tell stoplights, you're going to be fine. But why not go with the Charger blue top, but go with the white pants?
No.
Those were the great unis.
No.
You guys like these highlighters against each other? The orange highlighter versus the blue highlighter?
Those are pretty cool uniforms.
They were very cool uniforms.
And the Denver helmets.
I like the Denver helmets. I'll say this. There's some good and there's some bad. Trav and I both said the Cincinnati uniforms, the all white.
Yes.
Those uniforms should be in play.
They should put them in rotation.
Yeah, absolutely right.
They should put them in rotation. I mean, me with the Chargers, you know, I think they're still young.
Yeah.
And that's why they're losing games when they're supposed to win games. Games that are sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. Young players make mistakes when
the game's on the line, when the pressure's
online,
highest.
When the pressure's at its highest.
I mean, I look at that Saints game, and I felt a lot of pain after that Saints game.
And the Broncos, their problem is their quarterback. I mean, it's not that Simeon wasn't ready. He's coming back off injury, and they had a rookie plan. So let him get back into the swing of things and let the defense play. Yeah. I mean, the Broncos are going to be fine.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're not fine when they come to play the Texans, but from what I saw on defense, when they needed stops late in the game, they got stops.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and I think the quarterback was a little rusty. He was hurt. He's coming off a shoulder injury.
So then why wouldn't you go to the guy that was because he had a rough week
against
Atlanta?
Because they felt like Simeon was better fit to win that game, even though he's probably about 75%.
The question: do you feel like the Chargers exposed a weakness in that Denver defense, as far as with the way they're running the ball, as far as the way they're leaning the ball?
Question for everybody. So you think about it, and you guys let us know what you think too. Is the Denver defense, which was supposed to be the first best defense in football, is it exposed now for having a couple chinks in the armor? I said, it's not. We're not talking about. Okay. Just want to make sure that we're not talking about China Garden. I'm talking about the fact that we need to figure out if they found weaknesses in the Denver defense. That and more, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Brooklyn.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What up, everybody, on an FYI Friday. We are just getting started, and we are having a lot of fun out here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North of the Canino exit. We've got plenty to talk about. We've got lots of football on the agenda for the weekend. That's an F, by the way, and that's part of FYI Friday. And we will get to a lot of the college games. We'll get to the Texans. We were talking about Thursday night football before the break, and we were talking about the fact that is there a possibility now that there is a formula for attacking the Denver defense, which all three of us have agreed is the best defense in the NFL this year. Their combination of lockdown corners with their D-line, their front seven, they got a lot going for them. Minnesota, Barry's likes to say that they're the best defense and they're in the discussion. But now Denver's got two tough losses in a row. They lost and really were manhandled by Atlanta, who impressed me because I did not think that they were that good.
I like the way Atlanta attacked them. I mean, they put both of their running backs in the passing game, and it made it tough on Denver. It made it tough on Denver's linebackers. And, you know, going in, Kyle Shanahan had a great game plan saying that, you know, we understand that outside they're one of the best teams in the league covering wideouts.
So, but now we want to see what they can do on the inside.
Let's see if the linebackers can cover.
Exactly.
And when you got two dynamic running backs that are great in the passing game, let's see what happens, and they attacked him.
And Freeman had a day. Not just rushing, but to your point, Freeman had big numbers receiving because he exploited him.
What school Freeman went to?
That other school that's in Florida somewhere.
Oh, no, the school in Florida. But, no, you know what? I agree. I mean, when you got guys like Freeman, you got guys like Coleman, what they put on tape.
Oh, he's Freonce Knowles.
He said Freonce, Lord Jesus.
Because he went to Florida State.
It's a FYI Friday.
It is. There you go.
It is. But
FYI has never been for Florida State, at least not this year, with the way they've been showing up. But go ahead.
We'll be with
Wisconsin. No, because you're going to go, but you don't have a chance to play them.
Yeah,
you're not
good
enough.
We would be.
But you're going to get on a tangent we don't need. So,
But here's the thing. I think, of course, Atlanta showed with Tevin Coleman Deontay Freeman, and they show what they could do as far as with that putting them in the passing route against the linebackers. I think what San Diego did was they took a little bit out of that and said, we're going to give you a little bit of that, then we're going to attack your linebackers as far as with the run game. And I think they showed that, and they
the
kept
tight
it
end.
And the tight end, and they showed they exposed them with the tight end play. When you saw them, you continued to use Gates. I mean, Gates
and
is older
Henry.
Than Methuselah, and the other tight end
Henry from Arkansas,
and you saw these two guys literally methodically take the team down. When they needed a first down, they always say, we can go straight to the tight end, and we know he's going to be open.
Because he's covered by the linebackers. We don't have to worry about getting covered by the best secondary. You know, some people say the best secondary in the league. So that's the way that you attack the Denver Broncos. But you got to have those caliber athletes to be able to attack those guys. Don't get it twisted.
No.
I mean, you got – you know, when – believe me, they realize that their linebackers are right now are the weak part of their defense, you know, and coverage. But now playing downhill on the run, they play well, and in the pass rush. And in the pass rush. So, you know, they're a 34 defense, and you take advantage of Von Miller that All he does is what? Rush the quarterback.
Rush the passer.
Rush the quarterback.
Shane Ray, all he does is rush the passer.
You try to put him in situations where he has to cover.
And you take DeMarcus Ware out of the equation.
Yes.
That really hurts them a lot more than people would have expected.
Yes.
But it's the same reason why we talked about when J.J. was getting all the double teams before he got hurt, why it was so essential to have Clowney show up on the other side, to have Merciless continue to play at a level he was playing at. Because you can't just do it weighted up with one side of the football on the defensive side as well. You've got to have help on both sides, on the edges, and doing the things that they had the capability of doing when J.J. was in there. Denver struggles because Ware makes a huge difference in allowing Von Miller to roam.
But also, it puts a lot of pressure on your inside backers. You know, playing in a 34 defense with Wade Phillips in San Diego, we had Donnie Edwards.
Donnie
is typically, he's a safety because Donnie probably was about 6'3 and weighed about 220 pounds.
Right.
And he played middle linebacker for us in a 34. But what Wade told him, you're going to be our cover guy.
Yeah.
So you have to find a guy in that 34 defense that's playing the middle backer that can rush and, you know, fill holes and also be able to cover
the backside.
Let your two linebackers outside rush the passer.
Yep.
So he has to be that skill. He has to have that type of skill set.
Well, I will say that I agree wholeheartedly with you about the inside linebackers. But Shane Ray actually started to turn into a guy with his pass rush on the outside. But then nobody's still scared of Shane Ray because he's too up and down.
Yes.
And they still slide the protection over to Von Miller's way. You'd have thought that they would have said, you know what, Shane Ray is just as good a pass rusher, but he's not as consistent as DeMarcus. So that's why you didn't see Von Miller having the same impact that he might have had if DeMarcus was out there. But Shane Ray still showed his face and he made a few plays, which I was proud of because I actually get to see him. And then on the other side of the ball, you saw Joey Bosa follow up a 2-sack game.
Well, I'll tell you
and was very active.
Yeah.
So now you see why this guy was holding out because he knew I'm worth more money than you.
He took a lot of heat, but boy, he's backing it up. Once he hit the field, he came out guns blazing.
No question.
Has been fantastic.
He's a football player, man.
Yeah.
I got a chance to coach against him for 2 years, and I mean, every time we were there, we were sliding protection to him. I mean, so the Chargers got a really good pick, a really good football player, and he's going to be in the league a long time. If he stays healthy, he's going to put up some big numbers.
Yeah, Chargers got to stop taking a page out of certain NBA teams' book in terms of finances. Stop being so damn cheap and realize when you got a player like that, just take care of him. He'll take care of you. Because, boy, once he hit the field running, he has been fantastic.
Man, I was wondering what team it was, but then I kind of did my context clues and figured out what NBA team we were talking about.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. You guys are whispering,
madness.
But okay.
He has a method to his madness.
Yeah, I already know. When he said that, I was like, "Damn, let me break it down." But then I started hitting my context clues and going about that, and said, "Well, what NBA team could he be talking about? The Clippers of the early '90s or late '80s?
I like to leave a little mystery in the world. I like you. I like to, you know, Trav. You like trivia questions, and I like to just throw it out there so that you guys can mull over some things and figure some things out on your own. That's all I do.
That was a heck of a crew. Because at first I thought you were talking about the old school late 80s, early 90s Clippers with Bo Outlaw and
Pooh Richardson.
And Pooh Richardson and all those guys.
I just said it.
They didn't pay for athletes back then either.
They also played in a bowling alley with.
They did at the LA Sports Arena.
Yeah, there you go.
I used to go to those games.
And you know what? I had to, too. And we needed security to get to our bus. So with that being said, we also want to mention things that we have figured out. And one thing that I figured out, guys, is Infuse Energy. I want to tell you about Infuse Energy because they are a great company. They are locally owned and operated. And they don't just sell electricity. They make sure they build relationships with you, the customer, and they take care of the customer with honest and uncomplicated service to make sure you get the best energy provider you can possibly have. They are trustworthy. They're like friends. And if you ever have a problem, literally, you can call the CEO of the company, Josh, and he will give you his cell phone number, and you can call directly to him. He'll take care of anything and everything in terms of your customer service issues to make sure that you are happy. That's all part of being a part of Infuse Energy. And a Houston-owned and operated company, that's huge, because you don't have to deal with all the phone on hold and all the computers and all the different automated systems. You get right to someone, and they provide affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Energy for homes as well as businesses. If you have a retail establishment, they'll take care of you. If you have a home and you tell them exactly what your energy needs are, tell them where you think you spend a lot of money on energy, they're going to make sure they get you a program that is tailor-made to you, the customer. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You can sign up and choose a green plan, which will offset your electricity use with renewable energy credits. and it helps decrease your carbon footprint. Join Infuse Energy today. Enter the promo code ESPN975 to receive a $25 bill credit right off the top. InfuseEnergy.com. Call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar.
ESPN 975.
Wicked.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What up, H-Town, on a F Yeah Friday? We know it is the Ready for the Weekend. We know it is Friday. We know that the F Yeah stands for football, fantasy fun, and so much more. And we know that there's a big game down on Kirby on Sunday night. It's the Colts and your Houston Texans. Texans at first place in 3-2, but I've said it, and I've gotten the opinions of most to chime in. Are they the worst 3-2 team in football?
Yes.
And Travis says yes. I say this because of the fact that there are so many things that look to be wrong with a team that just happens to be in first place because they're in a bad division. So then because of that, I parlay that into my next question, which I've asked throughout the week, which is, how big of a game is Sunday night? Is it huge? And I don't want to say make or break, but do people realize how important it is for the Houston Texans to win this game on Sunday night? And the reason I say that is, if they win, they have a two-game lead, and they have the first tiebreaker against the Colts, the team closest to them. So basically, you're well on your way to winning the division and at least getting into the playoffs. If you lose against the Colts, and depending on how you lose, if you lose to the Colts, will that turn the fire up even hotter on Brock Osweiler, on Bill O'Brien, on who's to blame, why they're not playing well, and what the hell is going on? You're now even with the Colts, but they have the first tiebreaker, so you're setting yourself back there as well. And the schedule, as we've talked about, yeah, there's some games you should win, but a lot of these games that you looked at before the season started said these are the games that the Texans are going to win. Now you're going to start questioning those, going, are they going to beat the Lions? I mean, are they going to beat teams that before the season you thought, definitely, they're going to win that game? Plus, they still have to play the Broncos on a Monday night. They still have to go to Green Bay. They still have a lot of tough games on their schedule.
They got the Cincinnati at home.
Cincinnati.
They got the Chargers coming here.
And the Chargers coming in, as we mentioned, are no slouch.
They got to go out to Oakland.
So how big is this game Sunday night?
It's a big game. I mean, thinking about it, I mean, it's a divisional game for one. That's
right.
Why.
Yep.
That's why it's a big game.
Right.
And then, you know, you want to kind of set yourself up. So, you know, you have to win your division. You don't want to be second in this division.
Well, second in this division is going to get you a lottery spot.
Yes.
I mean, you ain't getting to the postseason.
Second in this division
getting you a seat on your couch.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Because if you look at the AFC, it's pretty strong right now.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of teams jockeying for a position, for the wild card position. And, you know, so you have to win this game and get off and know that you're gonna be in the playoffs, because this is how you get to the playoffs.
The only way they get to the playoffs is they win the division. So if they're gonna win the division,
that's
a reason why I said how big this game is.
It's a big game because it's a divisional game. That's why if you win every game in your division, you should.
But let's also not skirt the fact that it's the Colts and they can't beat the Colts. They've always struggled to beat the Colts.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you could say, well, they beat them last year. Well, they beat them with nobody, right? You know, when you had a quarterback that could barely move back there, you won that game. Okay, great. You get that. But over the franchise's history, you know that – I'm going to use a term that you like, Trav. The bugaboo for the Texans has been –
Bugaboo? Why would I like that word?
Because it sounds cute. That they can't beat the Colts. So you got a homeboy – Andrew Luck coming back.
Yeah.
You got the whole Colts factor. And then you got everything we talked about, because it's a division game, because the only way to get to the playoffs is you win the division, because they played so badly and poorly in the two losses, including last week. They got to bounce back. There's so many microscopes out there watching the coaching staff, watching the play calling, watching the quarterback, watching the general manager even. That's why it's a huge game.
Here's my thing. We always hear the stories of, yeah, this is a make-or-break game. This is a game right here. If they don't win it, you know, coach could potentially get fired or, you know, make some changes. Well, I always say, who makes up those stories? Because it gives us something to talk about on the radio, but I don't believe it's a make-or-break, because
– I said it's a huge game.
It's a huge game regardless, because you want them to win the division. But as far as with the coaching staff, as far as with the players, I mean, of course, yeah, we want Brock Osweiler to go out there and throw for 400 yards. But
he ain't gonna do it.
I don't think he's going to do it, but I also don't think it affects anybody's job. I don't think it's going to affect
anything. And I'm not talking about affecting jobs. I'm talking about affecting the season. I'm talking about the fact that, like I said, I mean, you would think that a lot of people would give the Texans a chance in a lot of games going after the Colts game, because if they play well.
Well, the Colts aren't that good.
Saying this is a team that we thought that they were at the start of the season. There are already question marks. But if you lose this game at home to a divisional opponent after crapping the bed against the Vikings, people are going to say, yeah, you're right that they're the worst 3-2 team, but I don't know how in the world that anybody thought before the season that this team could compete in the AFC at all.
Well, one is because they were counting on one guy to get another 20-sack season. That counts. They were counting on their $72 million quarterback actually being worth $72 million. Mm-hmm. They were counting on the buildup of a top 10 defense all coming back. They counted on all these things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, right now, everybody says, oh, they went down their leg against Minnesota. No, they didn't. Minnesota's a pretty good team.
Well, not taking
it, good.
But
yeah,
not
real,
but,
real
okay.
good.
You know what I'm saying? But again, I'm not going to say that they – I'm just going to say, not only – I say they crapped the bed because it was a good opponent, an opponent that you expect to be on a level with.
But you're not.
But that's what they're finding out.
But you're not.
So, and here's the other thing. I would expect them to have not abandoned the run game. I would expect them to use the best players that they went out and spent the money on, whether Brock's worth it or not. Lamar Miller had more touches than anybody in the NFL, and he was doing something with them, and they abandoned him in the running game and the short passing game. Everything went out the window because of how quickly they got down. And they didn't realize it was a four-quarter game and you could chip away.
Yeah.
They felt like getting it all back at one time, and all they did was play right into the Vikings' hands.
And I agree with that, but I think, you know, one thing we touched on Monday was the fact that I think it shows the reason why they've leaned on Lamar Miller so much, it makes me wonder, is there guys in this program that don't know the offense? Why they have to feed this dude who's you paid a lot of money for him, but Lamar Miller's not the biggest back in the league now.
Right.
Lamar Miller is not he's not Ricky Williams when they gave Ricky Williams the ball 400 times and you knew he could take that load.
Well, to your point, it brings up what Chester Pitts brought up with us earlier in the week on Monday that I asked Keenan about on Wednesday. Those option routes, that's not all on Brock now.
No, it's not.
An option route is you run the route, and then the receiver has the ability to go either left or right based on where the coverage is coming from in the secondary, and it's getting on the same page with your quarterback, but it's knowing where the receiver is going to go. Am I right, Keenan?
You're right.
Okay, so in that regard, not that it's all on Brock, but then it's on either the guys themselves to do the work after practice and the coaching staff pushing that, hey, you guys got to be on the same page. But for whatever reason, those arrows and fingers are going to be pointed more severely if they lose another game, because that's the stuff that should have been worked out before you hit a regular season game.
Well, here's the thing. That's the reason why they call you a pro.
Yes.
When you get in the league and when you get in a league yes. and somebody says, hey, this is the playbook. If I'm a rookie or I'm a young guy and I got a 17-year vet, oh, this guy's making a whole lot of noise.
Yeah, that's why we're at Trailer Wheel and Frame. And he took the trailer to the wheel and the frame.
And somebody puts me in the room as a receiver with a guy like Keenan McCardell, who's at the time, let's even say, I don't even want to go 17-year vet Keenan. I'll say he puts me in a room with a 10-year vet Keenan McCardell, who still has a lot in the tank, who's still going to play another three quarters of a decade. Why wouldn't I, if it's something I don't understand, say, Keenan, can you teach me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you dumb this down for me a little bit? Because we all know a defensive playbook is one thing. You know, you got a lot of checks. You got a lot of, you know, different things. Really, but we lean on our rules more than anything else. We always lean on our rules. An offensive playbook is the second coming of a Bible. It is the biggest thing I've ever seen in life outside of the original text of the Bible.
It is huge.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you as a young guy don't understand it, or the quarterback understands it one way and you aren't seeing it that way, then somebody needs to say, you have to be a pro. You have to be a pro and say, this is my full-time job for 9 months. There's 9 months out of the year where I don't care what your wife say, I don't care what your girlfriend say, your mistress, your baby mamas, whatever. You got one job.
And that's to
learn this playbook and to run it the right way.
And know it inside and out.
And know it inside and out. Right. And if you don't know it, that's a problem. That's what I. Well, that's
like
what
they said, if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
But Travis, why do they have to do that? That is your job when you come to the NFL.
It is. But see, some people. Some people get around the game and say, you know what? I can be the last one in the building. I can be the first one gone. I can enjoy this party and enjoy this money. Listen, you got 3 months out of the year to enjoy that party and enjoy that money.
No doubt.
But when it's time to come back to work, you need to work.
Yes.
It also spends easier and goes a lot farther when you win.
Yeah.
And then you have those 3 months. But if you're doing what you're doing and you can't pick up what you need to do when you need to do it, it's going to make those 3 months in the offseason a lot tougher, and that's what these guys don't understand. And I don't know where you point the finger there. I don't know if that comes from administration. I don't know if that comes from coaching.
It doesn't come from administration. It can't come
from that locker room.
But you hear about Brock taking all the receivers in the offseason and going to Arizona State and everybody working out. Well, at some point,
Mark Sanchez did that same thing when he
did
the Jets.
And where are they now?
Exactly. And you're hoping Brock's not Mark Sanchez, I can tell you that, because the butt fumble's coming then, gang. There's nothing you can do to escape it.
They need to spend more time together.
That's what I mean.
When that during the season, you know, like Travis said, you can't be the first one in the last one in the building,
the first one
out, and that doesn't get it done. Especially when you're struggling in the passing game. I mean, he's struggling. He's struggling. Mm-hmm. He may not admit that he's struggling, but he is. I mean, because I know he expects more of himself, and the only way to get more of yourself is to go out and work harder. I mean, and that's doing the extra work. And I think, Coach O'Brien is a guy that pushes him very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to understand that Coach O'Brien comes from a guy that pushes him his own self hard.
Sure.
And that's Tom Brady. So,
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but he expects him to be Tom Brady.
Well, I expect them to play a lot better. But I really believe that if they don't win this game, I'm not saying anybody's getting fired, but I'm like, you could seriously dictate a negative connotation to the rest of your season if you don't win this game on Sunday. That's why I'm saying it's a big game.
If you don't win this game, I see Brock Osweiler calling out them guys who've been screwing up. If he's a true leader, he calls them out in front of the public.
It's not only a true leader that at that point he's also covering his own tail because everybody's putting it squarely on him. And maybe we got something here. Maybe we haven't uncovered whether and no one else is saying and haven't no one else has figured out what we're talking about. Which is it's not all on Brock's shoulders. That's when you started talking about those routes. That's when I started saying, hey, the blame's got to be spread out here. It can't just be on one guy's shoulders.
Yep, and I think he puts it on all of their shoulders because I think you see it week in and week out when you watch him hold the ball and not deliver. When that back foot hits and he doesn't deliver the ball, that's when you know it's on them receivers because he's sitting there waiting like, I know where I'm supposed to go with this ball.
He had to throw the one over the Minnesota bench because he thought that the receiver was going right and he went right.
If I know quarterbacks like I think I do, mm-hmm. he won't call them out in the public.
No, but he should.
But it'll be a meeting of the minds, and it won't be a nice conversation.
No.
We got a meeting for the minds for you right here at Baylor Wheel and Frame, I-45 in Kenito. We're here till 4 o'clock. Stop in and see us. Plenty of Rudy's Barbecue still here. We got plenty of beer, plenty of adult beverages, shall we say. We do have a lot of giveaways. You can spin the wheel for some prizes. We got T-shirts, a whole bunch more. Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 Kenito till 4 o'clock, and you can join the show, ESPN 97.5 FM.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.